Moto America fans, it's time for another episode of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you may even learn something from this unlikely pair and their special guest. The mic is yours, Paul and Sean.
Hello, Moto America fans. Welcome to a new episode of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. I'm Paul Carruthers, and to my left, or maybe it's right, that's Sean Bice, my partner on these podcasts. And down below, we have Rocco Landers, who is our special guest today. Rocco, welcome to Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. I know you've been on here before, but it's been a while. Tell us a little bit about, well, you know what? Let's just get started with, I want to give some stats right away, Sean, because looking at what this kid has done is pretty impressive. And you know I'm not easily impressed, but he's won 48 Moto America races.
48, wow.
He's won 29 Junior Cup races, which puts him first all time. He's won 15 Twins Cup races, puts him first of all time. And he's also won 4 Supersport races, which arguably could be the most impressive things that he's done because the right. situation, I mean, Supersport is Supersport, right? I mean, you got the best of the best there and he's beaten them 4 times. So now he's taken on a new part of his career and he signed a contract with Terry Vance and he's going to ride in the Mission King of the Baggers class on a Vance and Hines Motorsports Harley. And he's also going to ride for Vance and Hines Motorsports on the new Suzuki Twin in Bellissimoto Twins Cup this year. So, I mean, Sean and I were talking before we went on and I mean, this is as close to a factory ride as you can get. And it could lead to a factory ride because it could lead to a superbike ride because I know Terry Vance pretty well. And if he could work out a program to run superbikes, he would. So in other words, if you perform this year as well as we all think you can, you know, the door is open there, right? So you got to be happy and you're in a good place right now. So just tell us a little bit about what's going through Rocco's head.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. It was kind of funny. I was telling Terry back in December, I'm like, dude, this is the first time I've ever had a ride secure before. Like, I mean, I've had people say that they want me to ride for them. I've had things that are quasi-planned. But then I have a ride. Like, a contract was signed before Christmas. It was just like a mile, some weird mind-blown thing for me. And so I was just like, pressure was off my shoulders for trying to find a ride. And I mean...
Thank you,
Terry. But I mean, I'm stoked to be a part of Vance and Hines. It's the amount of history and the amount of experience that whole team has is dope. So I'm excited to getting the season kicked off. But testing already went pretty well, so I had fun.
Yeah, and talking to Terry, he was impressed with how well you went on the bagger. Tell us a little bit about that first experience of riding that bike, because it's unlike anything you've ever ridden.
They did a pretty damn good job explaining exactly how, like, the bike was and the way to what to expect and, like, what to do to counteract things. When I got on it, I wasn't too surprised just because they'd explained it in so much detail as to how it was. So I got on, I'm not going to lie, the only bike I could compare the bagger to would be like a flat track bike or a supermoto bike in the way that its geometry is. Like, if a supermoto bike on a kart track feels like it has the same amount of torque as a bagger on a big track. So it's actually a decent way to train, but it's a strange bike, but it's strange in a good way. It's pretty fun.
So Rocco, you're pretty tall now. Can you touch your feet down on the bike or one foot?
No. It's leaned over like this though, what he does.
Yeah.
Well, it's not quite Patricia.
No, I got to have my mechanic Quentin help me hold it.
It's the scariest part of riding though, as everyone says.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
So how did it work? Did you just get a call from Terry? Do you know Terry? Had you talked to him before? I mean, how did this whole thing come about? It was a pretty big surprise. It was a surprise for me when I heard you were testing the bike, actually.
Yeah, I think I'd very briefly met Terry a couple times, like just in passing, and he he ends up, because he'd actually spoken to my dad a few times, and he reached out to my dad and was trying to see what was up. I was trying to see what our plan was. And at that point, we had a few, like potential deals. So we were like, all right, let's keep talking, see what's up with this. But things just snowballed. And at that point, it was just an opportunity to raise a twin. But then eventually he came and he was like, look, we want you to raise the bagger as well. And why don't you come test this next weekend at Roebling? And we did. So, I mean, that's where we're at right now. I'm stoked. Like, I'm in a better position than I've been in for years, just personally and in racing. So I could not be happier with this deal.
Obviously, the twins class, I mean, you've been there, you've won the championship, you're familiar with it. You're probably familiar with most of the guys in it. The bike's going to be new, but that's going to make it good. And then you've got Vance and Hines guys who are only going to make it better.
Exactly.
So probably I would think in your mind, you're a little bit more concerned about baggers than you are about twins as far as the learning process.
I wouldn't say concerned. I'm just racing.
That's a good answer. Actually.
I don't know exactly how I'm going to finish in the beginning, especially in the beginning, but I am going to be pushing. And I'm going to do my best. But with the, you're right, though. With the twin, I don't know. It was when he came to me with that offer, I was like, do I want to do twins company? But I had a few smaller offers with a couple teams Terry's offer just had more, it had a better few, like a, it just had a better structure to it. And it had a better, at least somewhat plan for the future, and knowing Terry, obviously. But yes. Would I prefer to be in Super Sport than Twins Cup? Yes, but the offer was there, and opportunities like this don't pop up very often. So I'm Vance and Hines. I'm so stoked to be a part of that, part of the whole crew. So
yeah, it'll be a good team for you to fall into. Is starting at Daytona, I mean, take the twins out of it because we've been there and you know what you're doing there. Is starting at Daytona on the baggers a good thing or a difficult thing? It seems like it could be a good thing because it's not a difficult track to, you know, it's just a big compromise on tires and stuff. But I mean, other than
I don't know. I've never really enjoyed Daytona. That's just because I'm the kind of guy who likes a track like Ridge. Right. So I like all the gnarly tracks, but I mean, it's going to be the same for everybody. I mean, Hayden showed up last year and I think won one of the races. So first time on the bike without any testing. I've got two tests. So, Michael, I mean, I'm just going to go out there and do as best as I can. There's no expectations, even on the twin, because we don't know how the regulations are going to be. Mm-hmm. Just going to show up and do our best. Like, just push, go as hard as I can. And then we leave. We go back to the drawing board if it doesn't go well, or we leave and go back to the drawing board if it does go well. It's gonna be the same. And I'm looking forward to going to Daytona and having some development, because the two times I've been to Daytona have not been good. Mm-hmm. Like, I went there on the R6 with we built the bike the week before and had no testing in 2021, and I got six in the 200. And then in 22 we showed up with a bike that was bent of like 3/4 inch.
And I remember that.
Rough weekend.
I remember that. I remember when you guys figured that out. So, Rocco, you surprised me about something. A couple things. One of them, for sure, I thought this Twins Cup thing was an add-on, because when I talked to you, if you remember, you said I couldn't say anything to anybody, and you even said you can't even tell Paul. And I'm like, and so Paul, I didn't. I mean, I hate to keep things from you, Paul.
Yeah, it was like a day before the press release dropped, anyways.
But you actually in your mind had something going with Twins before the King of the Baggers thing. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that was the original offer. I got a call. I was like, just Rocco, want to do Twins again? At this point, I still had my sights set on doing Super Sport, which again, I would generally prefer to be doing Super Sport, but. Like I said, offers like this don't come up very often, especially with a team like Vance and Hines.
Right.
But that was the original offer.
And was the plan, was it going to be on that new Suzuki? Was that what it was going to be all along?
Yes.
Okay, which makes sense.
When it was first broached to me, I thought it was actually an R7.
Right.
And then we talked on the phone. It was like, no, this is something new. And I'm like,
Yeah, I would have thought that too. I mean, obviously with Hayden Schultz being involved with Vance and Hines and Gene Burcham and that. And
that's what I thought it was.
Yeah,
but, it makes sense. But Terry's deal with drag racing with Suzuki. So that part makes sense too.
The boosters, yeah.
Yeah. No, so anyway, listen, I think, okay, you've won a championship in Twins Cup, but I really
on a Suzuki.
Yes, that's
back
right.
Suzuki. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Good point. I'm glad you brought that up. But I think with last year, I feel like you still have a little bit unfinished business in Twins Cup.
Yeah.
I think you want to. Sure. I think you need to and want to take it to those guys in that class this year with that new bike. Am I wrong?
For sure. I mean, in all seriousness, last year was a bit of a train wreck for me. I had a lot of issues on a lot of fronts. And I do know that Vance and Hines is going to bring me a bike that works perfectly every single weekend. So we're going to, my goal is just to do as best I possibly can. I have no specific goals. Like I said, like, we're going out to race. You can never predict anything, but I want to win races and I want to win the championship. So that's my sights are set on just doing what I can. But yeah, we do have some ideas as to where we'd like to be.
So have you ridden the Suzuki Twins bike yet at all? Well, I didn't think so. And I don't know. And you may not either. I don't know what kind of balancing is going to be done to that bike. I assume they've got it figured out. It might be some weight maybe. I mean, the displacement's pretty high, but the horsepower isn't crazy on that bike. So I've heard it's going to fit in. Okay.
I just hope they don't do what they did the CBR 500 to it, to be honest with you. Because that thing was just neutered and it was horrible.
Yeah, I think now it seems like they've got their head around this balancing a little bit better. I mean, to take, you know, something like a Ducati V twin and some triples with MV and Triumph and obviously the four cylinder 600s, well, 750 for the Suzuki. But I think it'll be OK. I think it'll work out well. And it's cool that you're going to be representing for sure. I was talking about Super Sport with that, by the way, not Twins.
Oh, OK. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I think they're better at balancing bikes now. Yeah, sorry, I switched gears without saying that.
You did.
But I think we're balancing in a couple classes now, so they're going to know that, you know, how to do it. And I think Teague Daney's got a good handle on it, so it's going to be interesting. But I don't want to give too much emphasis to Twins, but you know, I like that class a lot. So
it's my favorite class. Yeah, just to watch. It's my favorite.
It's just fun. I mean, I really enjoy what's done in that class and what those guys can do. So, and you have a lot of friends in that class, and you've got some targets too, I think, in that class now that you want to aim for a little bit. So it's all good, right? I mean, it's going to be fun for you.
Well, there's always, I mean, I like to say everyone's my target. There's no specific person who I want to be any more than anyone else.
Right.
But I mean, yes. Do I want to beat every single person on track? Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And when you went to the test at Roebling Road on the bagger, did you realize that was a tryout to race that bike?
It wasn't a tryout. I already signed the contract.
Oh, you did? Okay. Okay. So there was no pressure on you necessarily. No. Well,
that was what they were going for, a no pressure situation. Okay. And we only got like two sessions though, I think, because it ended up getting rained out and we never had tires.
They say that those bikes are ridiculously fast off the line. Did you get that impression?
They're just torquey. It's crazy. Yeah. They're like the only thing I can compare it to is a 450 on a supermoto track or a kart track. It just, you open the throttle and it's just like, whoa.
And then it's, whoa.
Yeah.
Will it be okay for you to do two classes? I mean, you got Jake Lewis who's racing three this year with his deal. So you're going to be doing two. You can handle that. No problem.
I mean, I did it in 2020 or 2020. So.
That's true.
When you were young.
Like, it's probably going to sound counterintuitive, but the bagger is actually very easy to ride. And the fact that it's just physically easy because you can't put a ton of input in anything. And the twins just a light, easy bike to ride. So like, it would be one thing to race Superbike and Stock 1000.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Or Superbike and Super Sport. For anyone who's wondering, I woke up like a half hour ago.
Yeah, we had to get him out of bed.
Yeah, I was absolutely slammed yesterday, and I was busy as hell that I forgot to set an alarm for the podcast, and I ended up getting to bed at like 2 a.m. So I'm like, ah.
Well, we want our guests to be relaxed, and that's okay.
Yeah. He's obviously not nervous.
Oh, I'm not nervous. I'm just loopy. I'm tired.
Also, Rocco, we're probably, 4 days late on this now, but
yeah,
your birthday was Monday. Happy birthday. You're 19. You're 19. Your last year as a teenager.
And I am.
It's hard to believe you're still only 19. Does it?
He should be 30.
Right. Does it seem, do you feel older than you are? You are what you are. You're a 19-year-old.
I don't know. I don't know what I mean. I don't know what it would be like to be older. So I feel like, I do.
Yeah. Take advantage of it.
Yeah.
It just seems
that. Yeah. My joints are all messed up in my back. That's mostly because I went and did leg day a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
But I mean, like Paul said in the beginning, you know, to be your top four among active riders, I think you're seventh all time with 48.
That's actually kind of cool.
Oh, it's very cool. And you can add to it this year, and it can go quick if you get some wins in both classes. So that's an incentive for you too. Yeah. Tell us what you're up to. So do you live in your own apartment now? I mean, what, now that you're in
basically, it's a small, it's a little tiny house.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're on your own. Are you working, and what's your job?
He's a Vance and Hines racer.
Oh, that and for fun, I work part time at an airsoft store.
Hmm. Oh, you do
on some weekends. It's pretty fun. I like airsoft, and I get to go play. I get to go play with a lot of my coworkers, and we get to be nerds.
Right.
It's pretty fun.
That's good. But you have your own house. Is it anywhere near your mom and dad at all?
They're in Missouri. I'm in LA.
So it's not very, it's quite a ways away from your mom and dad.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to drive there.
it's a two, 3 day drive.
Yeah. And they're going to call before they drop in.
Yeah, maybe.
That's cool.
Random inspection. Just.
So when you tested the bagger, Hayden was there too, right?
Yeah. Hayden's been there every time I've tested.
And I think, you know, we talked already about how fortunate you are to be in the situation that you're in with the Vance and Hines team. I think you're also fortunate to have the teammate that you have.
For sure.
Because he's not the type of guy that's, he's going to be helpful. You know what I mean? He's just a good guy.
Yeah, and he has been. It's probably the first time I've been on a team where I really feel a true team dynamic where we're all working together.
Yeah.
Everyone has the same goal, which is just make the two bikes do as best as they can.
Right.
But we were at Homestead over testing. I had a question about corner exit on one of them, and he just breaks the corner down for me and helps me out. And I ended up dropping some time because I was like, bro, legend.
Yeah. You can't beat that. That's awesome.
No, he's so cool too. And then his babies are like so cute. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get to play with his wife and his kids, and they have, I love babies, by the way.
Well, it's kind of funny.
Highly recommend.
Your dad's name is Stoney, and Hayden's kid's name is Stone. So
I know. Yeah, I was like, apparently that's Hayden. I think it's Hayden's nickname or middle name or something.
There's something there.
I don't know where it is.
Right. I can't remember.
Yeah,
it's a cool ass name though, and they're so nice too. It's like the sweetest people ever.
Right. Yeah, the whole family's awesome. Yeah. That's good. That's good. That's good to have that kind of a solid base for you with a great team owner and a team that's been around and knows what they're doing and a teammate that's willing to help you. So it seems like you're in a really good place on all of this. You must be really looking forward to it. Are you okay about the approach of Daytona? Are you nervous? Can you not wait to get there? I mean, where are you feeling on it?
I mean, we're just going racing. If we were going to a track that I had, like personally enjoyed more, I feel like I'd just be crazy excited. No, I'm just pretty excited. Looking forward to it.
Well,
if we go to Atlanta, I'd be like, woo!
Is that right?
Yeah. He loves Atlanta.
I love Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, last year, but think about last year at Daytona. I mean, I felt so bad for you. You were there. It was like you were a man without a country, and it felt so terrible. And we thought something was going to happen. It didn't. So things happened along the way because of, you know, other issues with other riders. But the point is, you were there, and it was kind of weird, you know, because I think even the year before you kind of showed up a little bit later to race in the 200. So I always thought, well, here comes Rocco in and he's going to be out there on the track, and it didn't happen. So this year, man, you, like you said, you got it all figured out ahead of time. So this is not going to be a problem for you. You're almost be too prepared this year, I think.
Right? Compared to what I have been for the past two times that I went to Daytona in 21 and 22. Like it's just a completely different, it's in a different area code on how prepared we are. Like, we showed up to 21, we built the bike, and we showed up with an incomplete bike, and we finished the bike on Thursday.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. And then, like, I whirled out, I had no quick shifter, no nothing. And then 21, I didn't ride from Barber until a week and a half before Daytona. I didn't ride anything except for I rode my 150 once. And
I was just going to ask you about your crew. You mentioned your crew a little bit for Baggers. Are you going to have the same crew working on both bikes?
No, I have the same crew chief, but a separate mechanic.
Okay. Oh,
that makes sense.
That's good. Yeah, it does make sense. Well, that's going to be, and you're the only rider. Well, you're the only Vance and Hines rider on that Suzuki. I mean, obviously Hayden's not doing it. Okay.
No, Hayden. I think Hayden's racing. I can't remember. I know he's doing Baggers, and I'm pretty sure he's doing something else. I just can't remember.
We haven't heard that yet, and we've been wondering too. Paul and I were talking about it before the podcast that we just weren't sure what was going on. But
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
I would assume he's doing something. I can't. I think he mentioned something about something, but I just have like zero memory of it. So
right. Yeah.
Okay. I got to ask you something bad now.
What?
Well, it's not that bad. I can't go. I can't have a conversation with you without talking about the fact that you've really struggled in wet conditions. And that got fixed a little bit. It got fixed a little bit at the Jersey this last time. But can you tell us, like, what is it? Is it something you just need to mentally get over?
Yes, 100%, 100%.
I mean, a guy that can ride a motorcycle as well as you can ride it should be able to ride it as well in the rain. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I had kind of, like you mentioned, I had kind of a breakthrough at Jersey. I think I was second in qualifying, and I finished like fourth in race one, and I was in fourth in race two and ran off because I had a false neutral. But that was pretty, I was happy after that. Like I was as happy as I could have been in the situation that I was in. But I mean, what I realized is, like, it's not rocket science. It's not. In all seriousness, up until maybe Road America of 2022, I'd probably raced in the rain at least three dozen times, and I had finished maybe two or three of those races.
Mm. Well, that would set you back a bit.
Yeah. A little bit. But I'd always been up there. Like, I'd be third or fourth, and I'd crash. Or I'd be third or fourth crash, fourth or fifth crash, in the lead crash. And then... So I get to Barber 2021, and I high-sided in the rain out of fourth and broke my arm.
Oh.
And so I get to Road America, and I'm like, I don't care how I finish. I don't care if I score points. I don't care what happens. I'm not crashing.
Right.
And so I just putted around the track and just had problems. Like, this was, it was a difficult race. And the same thing happened at Jersey. But I only rode in the rain from then, like, a couple times. Like, I think I rode Pittsburgh for a couple laps. And at that point, I didn't even do that bad. I didn't crash. But then I was, like, at Jersey. I'm like, screw it. There's nothing to lose right now. I'm not in this championship, really. I'm just going to go. And so I went and practiced one. And I realized it's, like, there is actually a way to prevent yourself from crashing rather than... Cause at that point, I was like, it's just luck. Like, right. You crash, it's luck. I have terrible luck in the rain. Cause I had no idea what I was doing. And so I went out and I was just like, shoot. Okay, so if I focus on good throttle control and I focus on not running over sketchy spots, I'll probably stay up.
Yeah.
And so I did that. I was like, I felt good.
Really? Wow. Like,
I was like a tenth off of Blake, and I felt like that was – and he's ridden there in the rain and on the rain in that bike a bunch of times. Well, on that R7.
In general, do you like a bike that moves around underneath you, or do you not like that?
It depends what we mean by that. Like, if we're talking like the superbike that power slides, like, I don't think any racer generally prefers a bike that's just like that. But I've come to appreciate it, I would say, based off of riding a supermoto bike, especially. It definitely does that a lot more than the road race bike.
Right.
But I mean, it's different. Like, it's a difficult choice. Yes, it's fun to ride when it's a little bit sketchy, especially when the track has some bumps or it's a little bit slick. It's pretty, it's generally like, it's almost more fun than riding a super good track, but you're never going to be able to go as fast, so you don't feel quite as good.
Well, so you're right. You had mentioned about being smooth with a throttle. Are you not smooth with a throttle normally?
Well, I am. I just do that. That. I mean, it's a smooth slam. Slam the throttle.
Okay. That'll put you on
your head. I just had to slow it down. And I will say sometimes on like the bikes have some torque, I'll give it a little bit of extra throttle just to get to kick out a little bit. Cause
right.
Like, just like you do in flat track or on a supermoto bike, just for fun. Cause it is pretty fun.
Right.
But I wouldn't do that in the wet, but still, like, I would just, you have to like slow your throttle or your power delivery down in the rain.
Now I have this theory. Maybe you can tell me I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. Sean knows that, but like once or twice.
I don't know, bro. You're the one making the good points.
So this is my theory. Like, kids your age, a lot of them grew up riding like little pit bike, mini bikes on pavement. Instead, back in the day, everyone learned how to ride on a dirt bike, 90% dirt track, sliding, motocross, sliding, whatever. Now I see these kids, they riding around in parking lots with cones. And it seems like that's really training you to feel the front, but it's not necessarily training you to lose the rear. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Yes. Like, the front is now a lot easier. Like, there's more, I mean, you see it on TV, you see the amount of front end saves that there are. You didn't see that 20 years ago or 10 years ago, even. Like, you maybe saw Marquez starting it, but yes, whenever you slow it down and you're riding in the cart or on a parking lot, or you're riding on a thing, like when you just like, you can, like when you do it enough, you get to the point where you just literally completely lock the front and just plow it and you hold it up on your knee, and it just makes it more easy to do that. I wouldn't say it's so much easier. Like, you also see a lot of high side saves. Like, you didn't see, like, you saw the once in a blue moon wild high side save, like the Momolo one. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, like, with the amount of skid pad and car and parking lot training and supermoto training that people are doing now, it's just easier in general to feel the bike slide on the road. The rain, again, is a little bit different just because it's a different texture. Not a lot of people with the asphalt will have a different texture and a different feel in the rain than it will in the dry. And you can't train like that a ton. That's why you see a lot of guys from countries that rain a lot, like Japan. Like, the Japanese guys are really good in the rain, mm-hmm. because they have a lot more experience than a lot of people do. But also, like, some people, it just clicks with them. It didn't click with me, but I've figured it out. I seem to have finally. But like, it just didn't click with me. Sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, I understand. I just can't give it a ton of throttle. Or they have the superhuman ability to feel the tires sliding. And that's something that I had to build up to, where just be able to feel the slides just before they come. In the rain, you can kind of do that. Depending on the track, like Jersey, not so much. But like, if we're talking like Atlanta, you can feel the slides coming from a good bit away. Yeah.
Rocco, I've got a question for you. And this is not casting aspersions at anybody at all related to you. But
that means we are.
No, you're right.
It's like saying no offense before an offensive statement.
You're right. Right. It's the same damn thing. I can't believe I said that, and I don't like to do
it's
that.
All good.
So I'm going to definitely throw some people under the bus. Okay. you were surrounded by some people in your career, family, even not family, who were helping you. Tremendous help to you. I understand.
Oh, yeah.
Did it sometimes get to the point where you had too many voices, too many people talking to you? Did you need to get away from that? Sometimes it's like, I need to figure this out myself. I need to do it myself. You can tell me what to do, but I still have to do it. Where are you at on that?
Well, it depends what you mean by too many voices. Like, do you mean in what context?
Well, sometimes I'll get people talking to me and I'm like, I gotta think.
It is somewhat frustrating whenever you have your crew chief here, your mechanic here, some random person who thinks they know everything here, your coach here, and then everyone is saying something different.
Yeah.
And then expecting you to follow it completely and then getting upset if you don't. Mm-hmm. So yes. Yes, definitely.
Okay. Also, do you have a name to please people?
I would say I'm a people pleaser, kind of, but also there's something to be said about being a 14, 15, 16 year old kid and just not knowing.
Right.
Either not knowing how to say no or this is a person who's somewhat successful. I want to learn from them, so I want to do what they're doing. But then it just becomes too much. Like, whenever three people are telling you to do something, it's difficult to do one of those things what I would try to do is combine them, which is maybe not the best idea.
Yeah, that's
because
hard.
They're all contradictory.
Right.
Yeah. No, that happened a lot on losing weight for me. Like, I had to lose a ton of weight, but like and that was a weird deal because there was no, if anyone told me anything, it was the only way to lose weight. So I would combine all these things. Like, I'd have one person tell me one thing, and sometimes people would change their mind. And I'm like, whoa. So eventually I just had to figure out what I needed to do and do that. And it's worked very well for me since then.
Yeah. Like, and when I saw that one off season where you were like running like crazy, right?
Yeah. Like, I was just getting told to do that.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
I go, he's going to hurt himself. It's just,
yeah,
not,
I did.
Gonna
I hurt my
himself.
Knees.
Yeah. It's just, it wasn't, I was watching that and I'm just like, but you know, who am I to tell you? You know, you had enough people.
Like, I was just getting told to do that.
Yeah. That was stupid.
Yeah, I know. Trust me. I mean, when you go run a marathon, when you get told to go run a marathon without any training in shoes that aren't even running shoes, and then you do it. And
no, you were running in skate shoes, weren't you?
Basically.
Yeah. Not smart.
No, not at all.
Not smart.
Especially the distances I was going. Like, I was averaging like 12 miles a day.
Yeah. That's, yeah. You got to build up to that and you got to have the right stuff. And
no, Rocco, you exactly understood what I was asking you. And that's a good analogy about training, losing weight, or about just racecraft or about what you're doing. You had a lot of people who want to help you because they see your talent and they want to help you get to that next level. But sometimes it can be a bit of a detriment, of course. And you've seen that because you got too many people telling you different things. Like you said, it's sometimes you got to figure it out on your own, right?
Yes. And if you have one person telling you what to do, maybe it could work. But when that one person is either changing what they're doing or you have a bunch of people telling you what to do, so you start like going, which one works? They're all saying it has the same result. So maybe if I just combine them, I can make them all happy and keep getting help from all of them. But then some will just tell me things that are just completely out of whack. And then I'd be like, who knows what about what you're talking about? Because then I get confused. And I'm like, okay, no one knows what to talk about. Everyone's an idiot. Because then I keep gaining weight, not wanting to do that. And like, I think stress definitely has something to do with that.
Right.
Well, you just said it again. You said, make people happy. You wanted to do what they were telling you to do, not only for yourself, but to show that, yes, I'm listening to you. I know that you care about
me.
Yes,
I want to show, like, you get, I mean, when someone says like, oh, do you trust me? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say no.
Right.
But yeah, it's not a huge deal, but it's definitely something. It's something that I'm proud that I've been able to work through myself.
Yeah, and you've gotten through that. So this year, I mean, it looks like there's a lot of promise. I mean, you look like you got yourself figured out in a lot of different ways.
And I'm telling you one thing, I'll give you a piece of advice. Listen to Terry Vance advice.
That is someone who I definitely am going to listen to.
I mean, he's been telling me what to do for 40 years. And the only time I've ever screwed up is if I didn't listen to him. But so yeah, if he says jump, jump.
He's been very he's one of the only people who at this point, like, I haven't talked to him a ton. I haven't really hung out with him in, like, a bunch, but That dude is giving me nothing but advice that is like objectively good.
Yeah, it's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good to hear. All right, Rocco, a couple random questions for you. Who's your best friend right now?
My best friend's my buddy, Troy. I've known him since I was like 4.
Okay. Who's your best friend in the paddock?
I feel like I'm going to hurt people's feelings because I have a few friends that are all like, okay, we'll just go with a mechanic. It's Hunter Silling. He's a mechanic for ADR. Huh. His brother used to race Stock 1000.
Wow.
That's the most neutral answer I can give.
Well, and you're right. That is putting you in the spot because you do, man,
I have friends.
You get around the paddock like crazy. I mean, talk to so many people. I mean, you've been doing horrible. That since. You've been doing that since the beginning. Well, I didn't think that way at all. but you're 19, so. what is that about you? Do you just like to talk to different people and get to know other people? I mean, where did that come from?
The people person.
Yeah.
I would say I'm kind of like a people person. And I live alone. I'm chilling by myself most of the time. It's like, shit, I'm at the track. I got people who like to race. I can talk to people about racing. It's like, oh, let's go.
Okay. Right. You just really love it, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's just loads of fun.
Yeah. I'm glad. I mean, what do you think? I mean, let's go way beyond what is going to happen with your career at being only 19 years old. It seems like you're the type of person that is going to be involved in racing the rest of your life.
Hopefully.
You feel that? Yeah.
That's my goal.
Yeah.
I got nothing better to do. I mean, I got like a perfect job. I get to play airsoft guns on the weekends. I get to ride some weekends. I get to race some weekends. I get to ride most weeks, and then I get to study history. So it's like my favorite things to do.
Based on recent history, and it seems to me that it would be difficult for somebody, a young racer these days, to still have a goal of going to MotoGP, for example. Like I could see it's a goal of World Superbike.
You know, and right then now maybe World Superbike and then maybe Leapfrog.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to ask you. Like, if you wanted to, do you still have those kind of desires or is the desire now to be Moto America Superbike champion and then see what happens?
Well, right now the goal is to be Twins Cup champion. True. And to do, and hopefully Baggers champion. Who knows?
Yeah. I didn't mean to skip over those, but yeah.
You're good. But then we'll just see where it snowballs from. I have no goals outside of this year. I just need to make this year as good as it possibly can get. Do I still want to go to the world championship? 1000%. Is that still possible? 1000%. But it's not something that I need to be thinking about a ton right now. It's definitely, I need to be thinking about making sure I do my job on this twin and I do my job with this bagger. And that is what's That's most really important good. Right now.
Good idea.
That's really good. I mean, I think your head's in the right place now. It's perfect. And you got the right mentors around you. And I mean, you always have, but being able to filter things is the right way to go too. Hey, since you look behind yourself there, what the hell is with the number 15 jersey? Are you a Kansas City
Go Chiefs. Is that and you can't call me a bandwagon jumper. I've been a fan of the Chiefs since like 2014, 2015.
I knew that. So is that having some connection with the fact that your parents are in Missouri now?
Yeah. My dad's from Springfield and he grew up watching, like my uncle was a Patriots fan. And I'm like, I have absolutely no ties to New England. So I can't root for them.
Good.
Even though Tom Brady's cool.
Yeah. He's all right.
Like I like Tom Brady, but I was like, dude, I need a team. And so my dad said first Kansas City, then Green Bay. But then at that point, we didn't have the Rams. So I was like, shoot, okay, I guess Kansas City is the team because my dad's from it. And they do, at that point, choice. They were doing a little better. And then the Rams came along. So now it's like Chiefs and then Rams.
Yeah, that's good. That's a perfect way to go then. I love it. You're not a bandwagon jumper. You've been with them for a while. I actually knew that. I remember when you talked about the Chiefs in the past. So
yeah, I was wearing the Chiefs hat on the podium.
Right, exactly.
All right, I think we're good. Sean, you good?
Yeah, I think we're good. Is there anything you want to talk to us about, Rocco? I mean, okay.
Sorry to get you out of bed.
Yeah.
It's my bad. I should have just remembered to set an alarm.
Well, listen, We're really looking forward to seeing you race in two classes and on those bikes. Like I said, it'll be cool to see you back in Twins again, but for sure being part of that King of the Baggers group. I mean, all the stuff you're going to be doing, you're racing at COTA in front of MotoGP.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so fantastic.
Cool. It's such a great opportunity. Like you said, it's just such like the whole opportunity itself is so good in the fact that it's like, there's no, I don't know. I'm trying to word this. It's like just starting on the fact that I had a ride before Christmas. Like I showed up to Christmas without the, like I felt like the weight of like a container trailer was lifted off my shoulders.
Right. Yeah.
You can just like, okay, yeah, sweet. No. I actually have a ride. And like, because even in the past, like I never had a ride where it was like, okay, we're making it to every race. Like it was always kind of either it was either iffy or kind of held up here as to whether we were going to go race.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay.
Yeah. It's funny, Paul, he was saying, you know, after he mentioned the thing about the Twins thing and swore me to not tell you, he's like, so we got to do the podcast. And I'm thinking, well, you got to announce the Twins thing before we do that. So
that was the day before they dropped me in the press release.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like,
Yeah. No, I'm glad it worked. I'm really glad it worked out. And it's cool that, you know, that's the other thing about that team. They're great at social media and PR and everything too. Oh, yeah. So that's going to help elevate your brand as well. So
yeah, you're in the perfect spot. So enjoy
it.
Don't screw it up.
I'm trying not to.
That's good.
I'm trying not to.
Trying is working. Okay, guys. Have a good rest of your week and nice weekend. And Rocco, thanks for joining us. And
thank you.
Good luck this year. You're in a good spot. So enjoy it.
Appreciate you, boys.
We'll see you soon, Rocco.
Yeah.
See you, Paul.